This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Welcome to another edition of In Focus. It is Wednesday, and that means that we are focusing on the Leeds, Grenfell, and Lanark District Health Unit. Now, we're changing things up a bit as well, the way that we've done it for the past 2 years. Dr. Paula Stewart has been with us every week for a really lengthy conversation on the current situation when it comes to the pandemic in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville. And she's still going to be joining us weekly for the next few weeks here to answer your questions during our Ask Dr. Stewart segment. And we're going to be starting off each week with that for the next few weeks. So we are joined via Zoom by Dr. Paula Stewart. Hello, Paula.
Hello. Good to be back again and for a short period of time.
Exactly. We'll get to the question in a minute. And then what we're going to do right after that is we'll be focusing on a different part of the health unit every week. And this week, we are very pleased to welcome Jennifer Adams, manager of vaccine preventable disease, who will be joining us today in just a few minutes. Jennifer, welcome to Lake 88 and welcome back to Lake 88, I should say.
Thanks, Bob.
And actually, Jennifer's voice will be quite familiar for people who listen to Lake 88 as you joined Brian on Saturdays for so many weeks in a row there as the vaccinations started to roll out, giving that incredible information. The feedback that we got from information sessions like the one that you did with Brian was so good. People were so incredibly happy to be getting that information from you. And then, of course, what we were doing with Paula as well. So you were a big part of the response, and we're very, very pleased to have you with us. And we'll speak to you in just a couple of minutes. So again, thank you for all that you've done over the course of the pandemic.
Thank you.
And Paula, this is one of those people that you talked about week after week who was doing such incredible work.
I know. And I'm so glad that we're expanding these sessions so we can start to talk about other things that are really important to people as well. And I think that I would welcome people that if they have a question based on something that Jen says today or any of the other guests that will come on, then include those questions as well. Because I think this format worked really well for us, that we were able to respond to the questions people had. So let's keep that going.
Yeah. And it also, as you've said many times, it sort of helped shape your direction and your train of thought because it let you know what people were thinking out in the public. So
yes.
Yeah. So absolutely. We're happy to provide that avenue. If you do have a question, send it to info@lake88.ca before 10 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. We'll get it to Dr. Stewart. She will answer them. One question today, but it's a big one. It's a long one. And you can really tell that this is a person who has listened and watched reputable news sources and has really formulated this incredible question here. So let's just get into it. We have been wanting to get another booster shot as we are at the end of our 4 months from the third. The US CDC has stated that anyone over the age of 50 that wishes to take another booster 4 months after their latest booster is allowed to do so. I realize that NACI has to make that decision before it's allowed here in Canada, but we are attending a smallish event in 10 days and want to ensure we are as immune as possible given the BA.2 variant. Given there is no shortage of vaccine available, or that's what's been mentioned, if people are in a situation where they could boost their immunity, why shouldn't this be an option for people? It seems that real-world data takes a long time to get to Canada, as Israel and other European countries have allowed their citizens to get fourth boosters. Apologies. I guess I'm just getting frustrated that there seems to be such rigidity in the system after the past couple of years, as we've now been told, you know what you have to do, which in this particular case points me in the direction of getting a fourth booster to ensure we can enjoy the event. As well, from faithfully listening weekly to you and Bob, there seems to be quite a number of other residents in Perth and Smiths Falls that feel similarly. Although we plan to utilize our masks during the event, it makes it difficult to wear them when eating, and we are planning an overnight stay for a couple of nights too. So we would really appreciate your insight, including if you think it wise to cancel attending, as it seems a sixth wave of COVID is hitting the GTA, which is where we're going. We're both over 60, have had the three Pfizer shots, although one of us has diabetes, and we don't believe we've caught COVID as we've been staying home as much as possible. And This person finishes. Thank you so much for taking my question. And as always, it is so appreciated that you, Bob, and the Lake 88.1 crew have been so diligent in ensuring the access and information you have cheerfully provided over the past couple of years. One of the questions of the year that we've ever got, I mean, obviously there's a lot to unpack in there, but certainly just so well thought out.
Yeah, I love that they said that you've cheerfully provided. It's true. You have been very cheerful. Oh, this is a great, great question. So many things into it. So let's go through the first little bit of it. The person is right that the BA2 variant, so it's still Omicron, sort of was the parent change is Omicron. And BA1.1 had managed to surface among the other BA1s to be the most common one. And it truly, because it was so easily transmitted, it overwhelmed Delta, and it's the dominant one. And so its cousin, BA.2, is now surfacing, particularly around the Toronto area, and I think it's about 25% of the new infections are now of the Omicron or of the BA2. The good thing is that it looks like it's so close to the Omicron, the BA1.1, that it looks like the vaccine has the same benefit, particularly in terms of prevention event against serious disease requiring hospitalization. That's a really good thing. And it doesn't seem to be causing more serious disease, another good thing. So it hasn't changed from Omicron on those two facets. It is more transmissible. It's about 1.5 times more transmissible. So you can imagine that if someone has the BA2 variant of Omicron, it's going to get to people faster than the BA1.1. And so it's going to take over eventually. So I think the person is absolutely right. And so let's make sure that we use the precautions that we know about. You're right, there's no shortage of vaccine available right now. And the question is, should this be an option for people? So it's interesting that I think that this is the whole vaccine process has been exactly as the person described it here, is that we go one route, we analyze it, we see what difference it's making, and then we make an adjustment. And that's exactly what's happening at the province. They are not being quiet on this. They're looking at the other data. They're waiting for what the experts at NACI are going to say about it. So this is an absolute topic of great interest. The big question is that, Is there truly enough of a drop off after the third dose that that we should be getting the fourth dose? And I think it's that is the question, and the scientists are really looking at that really, really carefully. We're expecting that NACI may make a recommendation about that soon. So let's see how that happens. You're absolutely right. We have had many, many questions about it. And you know what I like about that is people are really recognizing the value of the vaccine. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So know that there are a lot of good heads really looking at this carefully. And we for sure will let you know just as soon as we get any information from the province. It'll go up on our website. Now,
what a statement just before you continue, recognizing the value of the vaccine. I didn't look at it that way before. I was thinking these people are questioning the vaccine, and you see it as them recognizing the value of the vaccine. And of course they are.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. What a great observation.
Yeah, it's a very well thought out question. And then the question is about the event. And I think the first thing I would say is, how important is it for you to go to the event? And then the second question I would ask is, what kind of precautions have the organizers put in place? Have they asked everyone to assess and see if they have symptoms before they come? Have they encouraged people to wear masks so it's not just you that are wearing the mask? Are they setting it up so that people won't be gathering in places? Like if there's a buffet, that the table is set a long way, they organize people to come up in small groups. Is the room big enough that people truly can distance? If it's important to them, is the ventilation good? So I think those are the questions I would ask. I think that your just questions are bang on right. And I think look and see what additional precautions they're putting in place. And I think if it's it's a group of people who you know pretty well, and they've all been really quite conscientious about wearing the masks, and they haven't recently gone to Florida and spent a whole bunch of time with people who are coughing and sneezing, I exaggerate, then that goes into it as well. So that's a hard one, but it starts with how important is it? And if it's really important, then see what other precautions are in place, and then see what you can do when you get there. And in terms of the sixth wave, like this person is really right on the ball. There is an increase in COVID infections. If you're following the science table, they have all the numbers there, and then they have nice graphs at the end of it, the Ontario science table. There is an increase, and we're actually seeing it here. We had a big spurt yesterday and another big spurt today in terms of our new cases. And that's because we were sort of expecting that, right? Because we knew people were going to travel in March break. As the precautions have been lifted, it means there is more opportunity for transmission if people are close together. So a reminder to everyone that recognize that COVID is around there, and please take the precautions that you need to. It's interesting, we've been getting some information from the province and what they're in response to the increase in cases. And the first one is stay up to date with your vaccine. So it goes to the very first point the individual had. The second one is know if you're eligible for Paxlovid. So Paxlovid is the antiviral, and the province has is actually, and I'm part of the discussions that are happening both with Ottawa and Kingston, but how do we make sure that people can access Paxlovid? So you need to qualify, and I'll go over that really quickly. And it needs to be in the first 5 days, because it needs to be before the virus really starts replicating in your system and the inflammation starts. And we're waiting for information from the province, and then we'll post that up on our website. So stay tuned for that. And then the third thing, as they say, is risk continues, remain mask friendly. Like that mask is really important, just like the people said. And the fourth one is stay home when sick. So they're the same messages. The new one that's added is the Paxlovid, and really trying to see if we can get better access to that. So stay tuned on that one. We're just at the start of it.
All righty. Well, I want to say thank you very much for that, Dr. Stewart. And pretty odd to be saying goodbye to you right now, but you're the warm-up act.
I that's very true, but isn't that lovely now? Yeah. Isn't that lovely that we're at this point?
It
that
is,
we can
actually
have Jen talk about vaccine among students, because it's really important. So Jen, over to you.
There we go. And there we go, the opening act, Dr. Paula Stewart, here as she will be for the next few weeks, answering your questions. If you do have a question for Dr. Stewart, please email it to info@lake88.ca and get it to us before Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, and then she'll answer it for you next week at this time. Dr. Stewart, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And now here we go, the main event, Jennifer Adams, manager of Vaccine Preventable Disease, talking to us today about some catch-up immunization and clinics. And Jennifer, first off, welcome back to Lake 88.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's been a long time.
This is people hear about catch-up immunization and clinics, and they're thinking COVID, but this isn't what we're talking about today, is it?
No, we're talking about routine school immunizations that were missed during the pandemic. We're the primary providers of those vaccines. And as you can imagine, we were a little busy over the last few years and didn't have capacity to be in the schools and getting these vaccines to the kids.
It's like so many other things that had to be put off because of COVID. And really, a lot of people may look at this and think, oh boy, this is another thing I have to do. But it's also a pretty good sign that things are moving ahead if we're at the stage where, yes, we need to get these things that we had been putting off done now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're moving in a better direction. And internally, we have a lot more capacity than we did to look at some of our programs that we haven't, we've had to put on hold for the last couple of years. And immunization is one of the most important programs that we do offer. And I know currently we were looking at the numbers, and we're sitting with about 5,300 students in our catchment area that are not compliant or don't have complete series of hepatitis B and HPV vaccine, as well as the meningococcal. But we also have another group of students, about 800 and some, that are missing their 14 to 16 year old booster, which is your tetanus and diphtheria polio vaccine as well. And two of those vaccines really important, the meningococcal and the tetanus, diphtheria, and polio are actually required vaccines for kids to attend school under the Immunization Schools Pupil Act. And so those are two of the vaccines that are really important for kids to attend school. And typically we would have sent out suspension letters to parents over the last few years, which also has been on hold. But we're also returning, looking at that process too. And so, you know, it's not something that we want to do this year because, you know, parents haven't had the opportunity to get their kids caught up. And so we're giving parents the opportunity to get the kids caught up now so that we can return to some of those important programs and procedures that keep our kids safe while they're in school.
Okay. So how can they get them now?
So what we've decided to do, we don't have the capacity right now to attend every school. We're already coming into April. We have a lot of schools in our area. We aren't able to send staff into those schools and get them all done before June, the end of June. So what we're doing is we're adding school catch-up vaccine onto our regular COVID immunization clinics that are happening within the community. So they're a hybrid. Our clinics are moving towards a hybrid, which we started March 21st. Doing. And so it'll operate very similarly to the COVID vaccine, but we'll be providing the four extra vaccines at those clinics.
All righty. And who's eligible?
So it actually turns out that there's about 3.5 cohorts of kids that are behind, hence the 5,300 that need to be done. It's a huge number of kids that we need to keep and get done. And so I'm going to start with the two required under ISPA. So that's the Immunization Student Pupils Act, School Pupil Act. So that's the meningococcal. So those in grades 7 to 12 are eligible for that vaccine. The tetanus, diphtheria, polio typically is received at between the ages of 14 and 16, but we're actually looking at the grade 12 students that are currently in grade 12 that are missing that dose in particular. The other two vaccines are considered optional, which is your hepatitis B vaccine. Typically that's given in grade 7, but we know we've got kids between grade 7 and 10 that are requiring that dose. And then the other one is the HPV vaccine, which is again typically given in grade 7. So kids between the ages of grade 7 and 12 for that vaccine, plus girls that are born between the years of 2002 and 2003 are also eligible for that vaccine.
Okay. Now, you sort of mentioned this a little bit earlier on, yeah, but it's not sort of business as usual here. These vaccines won't necessarily be offered in schools, right?
No, we're not looking at that right now. We just don't have the staffing capacity to do that and continue with our COVID vaccines. And if we're anticipating a possible fourth booster in the near future, as Dr. Stewart was alluding to, we aren't able to do that. And so parents are going to need to book into our community clinics. Also to note, these vaccines, the Hep B, Hep and HPV are not eligible to be given through primary care either. So we are the only option to get those two vaccines. Typically Tdap, which is the tetanus, diphtheria, polio, and Men-C can be given at a primary care office, but the other two aren't. So there's no option outside of our community clinics to get those.
Okay. So what should parents be doing right now? Because I'm sure a lot of them are just sort of sitting back going, geez, does he have that? Does that affect me? Or, you know, so what's the next
step? Yeah. Also, I think too, I forgot to mention, really important, these 3.5 cohorts are going to age out of eligibility for these vaccines, which is really important, I think, for parents to know. And when they are eligible right now, those vaccines are free of charge, particularly the hepatitis B and HPV vaccine. Once they age out of eligibility, if your child is required to have one of these vaccines, for instance, for employment purposes, so I'll refer back to nursing. In nursing, we're required to have a hepatitis B vaccine. they would have to pay for those vaccines. And we're looking at hundreds of dollars to get those vaccines once they've aged out of the eligibility. So really, really important for parents to really think hard about whether or not they want their children to have these vaccines while they're eligible, so they are free of charge.
Wow, isn't the Canadian healthcare system something, eh? Because you certainly don't see those kind of savings, if you will, like in other countries, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's many jobs that require, specifically hepatitis B is a quite common job requirement vaccine, so.
Worth it, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
So we were talking about what parents can do and what they need to do, you know, just to find out if they're up to date. So can they call the health unit and see what vaccines their kids need or vaccines that they've missed? Because, you know, as I said, some may be sitting back going, did I do that? Or, you know, I'm not saying irresponsible parents, because there's so much to remember.
Exactly. I was one of those parents. I couldn't remember what I had with my child. So yeah, there's three kind of options that people can take. So you can go to our website, review all the immunization information, so you have a better understanding of the vaccines and which ones are required. There's also a portal called ICON, which is Immunization Connect Ontario. Also information on our website about that. That you can put in your child's health card number, and it will pull up your yellow card within 5 minutes.
Wow.
And you can have a peek at that and see what they're missing. The other option is to call us here at the health unit using our call center line, which is 1-844-369-1234, and speak to one of our staff. The nice thing about that way of calling in is that if your child does require something, we can also book you right into one of our clinics. We're using this very similar online portal that we've been using for COVID vaccines to book children in for these vaccines as well. And all that information is on our website.
Of course, that's healthunit.org. And we know that that has really worked very well. Mm-hmm. So on the day of the clinic, what should people be doing?
Yeah, so very similar to what you should expect when you came to get a COVID vaccine if you have. So completing the provincial online screening tool. And follow the instructions that are given. Please do not bring your child to clinic if they're unwell. There's many reasons it poses a risk to our staff for transmission of COVID, but also one of the things too is that if we provide immunizations when children are not well, we don't typically get as good of an immune response as we would like when given those vaccines. So really, really important. We can reschedule. We've got lots of clinics available. Lots of times, different times, weekends, evenings, lots of opportunity. Please notify the screener when you arrive at the clinic. We are still required within our clinics to wear masks. So as we're considered a healthcare facility, masking is still required. So please come, both parents and students, with a mask on, please. And you do need to be prepared, just like with your COVID vaccine, to wait about 15 minutes after having the vaccines, just to ensure that your child is feeling well before leaving.
All righty. So if people would like to get more information, we've alluded to this as well, but let's bring it all into one place right now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, please look at our website on the immunization page, so www.healthunit.org. We also have our 1-800 general phone line that you can call as well, 1-800-660-5853. Again, if you're looking to book your child in for an appointment, call the call center, which is 1-844-369-1234. And you can follow our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're going to be putting out all kinds of information over the next few weeks, reminding parents about booking your child in. If you have questions, please let us know. We are happy to answer those.
Okay. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. A very important topic. And thank you for being our first, as we get back to sort of normal here. And that means that this is the first time that we've spoken to a healthcare worker from the health unit, other than Dr. Paula Stewart, on this particular program. So I would just like to take this opportunity to offer you a heartfelt and sincere thank you for all that you've done everyone at the health unit, but you individually as well, being a big part of our coverage here, as we mentioned earlier on the weekend. And really, you're one of the people who helped make us feel comfortable. And thank you so, so very much on behalf of all our listeners and the people that you serve in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville for what you've done over the past 2 years and continue to do.
Thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome. Our guest today on In Focus, Jennifer Adams, Manager of Vaccine Preventable Disease at the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Remember, you can listen to this interview again on our website, lanarkleedstoday.ca, and you can also hear some previous of previous In Focus interviews there as well. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.
In Focus on Lake 88.